Don't shoot the messenger, we sometimes say, when we get caught in the fire of someone's reaction to a message we have delivered for another. In wartime, messengers sometimes have to carry bad news and unpopular commands. Their job is to deliver reliably and accurately. They are not responsible for the content. But unhappy recipients don't always remember that. It's tough to be a prophet, a messenger for God. Ezekiel was being sent to tell people what God thought of their rebellion and stubbornness. The same stubbornness that God warns will almost certainly make them reject his message. God says, "Go and tell them. Don't expect them to listen, but at least they'll know you came to deliver the message." Not a terribly encouraging start to a mission. Jesus recognized that he and his disciples were up against the same thing. There were, and would continue to be, those who rejected Jesus and his followers, and who would not listen to his message. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, earlier on in that same letter, had been trying to put straight some misunderstandings or mishearings of the message he previously delivered. But the trouble is, it could easily sound like boasting. It's something of a tightrope walk. We humans are so easily impressed by things that we feel add importance to ourselves, and we like to follow signs of importance in others. We can get hung up on titles. I mean, why was it when certificates of attendance were handed out after the safeguarding training, they went out to Jane and Susie and John and whoever, and to the Reverend Canon? Hang on. Surely we'd all done the same training. Paul was saying, don't do it. And then he went on, I know someone, it doesn't matter who 14 years ago, so not that recently, had a vision or something. The details of whether it was a vision or he was actually there don't matter. God knows. And he heard, well, things that are inexpressible, so I'm afraid I can't tell you what they were. His readers may have been somewhat underwhelmed by what he was saying. But he was making a point that even though there might be grounds for boasting, he wasn't going to get drawn into it. Boasting on someone else's behalf or on his own, he wanted to focus rather on his weakness. He even delighted in those things that brought him down a peg or two, like insults, persecution, because they allowed God's power and grace to be seen. I wonder, can we say as much? Can we rejoice in those things that belittle us? It can be hard. Jesus' neighbours applied the following of importance in an inverted form. They looked at Jesus and said, we know you, you're nothing special. We know your ordinary family here. How dare you preach wisdom and do amazing stuff? His very ordinary disciples, fishermen, tax collectors, did nothing to add to his worldly glamour. Having seen the disrespect with which Jesus was treated, not just the previous adulation of the crowds, 12 of them were then sent out with Jesus' authority to do what he had been doing. And they went with the cautionary note that if a place won't welcome or listen to you, just shake the dust off your feet and leave. They were just messengers. Would we do the same? Are we prepared to go and share the word? And if it's not received, just keep moving on. Are we, as Jesus' followers, prepared to live this out? We have a message from God to share with people. It's the message of love, of God's offer of forgiveness to all those who repent and turn to him. It's a message taken out with actions as well as words. Are we reliable, accurate messengers? Do our words and our actions echo Jesus? Messengers travel with the authority of those that send them. Jesus sends us out, as he did the 12, with his authority. Do we have confidence in that authority vested in us? As good messengers, we will need to travel light, letting go of anything that might slow us down or get in our way. Such things might include our self-importance. I can't do that. I'm the curate. You don't expect me to wipe the tables, do you? Why not? It might be our possessions. Trouble is, possessions take a lot of looking after. Once you've got silverware, you've got to find the time to polish it and keep it safe. It might be our traditions, habits and customs that create a barrier between us and those to whom we take God's message. Are we ready to let go and travel light? As God's messengers, we need to be prepared not always to be welcomed with open arms, or maybe to find out afterwards that we've been misunderstood or misrepresented. If it happens to Ezekiel and a lot of the other Hebrew prophets, and to Jesus and to his immediate friends, it will happen to us too. If we are good messengers, then it will be the message that people are reacting against, not us. It's not personal. If we ourselves are the stumbling block, then we need to examine ourselves and check that we've not become boastful, trying to draw attention to ourselves rather than to God's message. Are we ready for that challenge? To step back, to present the message, and not get in the way? I know one vicar friend who years back commented, "If nobody has been offended, the gospel probably hasn't been preached." Because Jesus' words tended to stir up strong reactions, and they still do today. Having divested ourselves of reliance on status, popularity, wealth, strength, and our own cleverness, are we ready to rejoice in our weakness and vulnerability and see them as a platform on which Christ's power and grace may work? Do we trust God enough for that? Are we ready to turn again to God to supply all that we need as we go out as his messengers? Can we set behind us past failures and difficulties, "I tried it and it didn't work," and then dedicate ourselves to his service again? There's a lot of questions there I've asked. I'm going to read Psalm 123. As a prayer, it's the set psalm for this service. And then we will have a short time of silence in which we can ask God to speak to us, as we heard he spoke to Ezekiel when the Spirit came to him. Let God tell us what he wants us to hear, because he will have a different challenge, a different question, and a different answer for each one of us. Let us pray. I lift up my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave looks to the hands of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us. For we have endured no end of contempt. We have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant, of contempt from the proud. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us now, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for calling us to be your messengers. Help us to be reliable and accurate and ready to delight in weaknesses, insults, hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when we are weak, then we are strong, because your power is made perfect in our weakness. Thank you, Lord. Amen.